1248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The National Weather Service says high winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes could hit Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia today. The news coming after at least 25 people were killed in Mississippi, one in Alabama, after an EF tornado ripped through the Delta on Friday. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Residents like Renia Pope of Rolling Fork are taking stock of the devastation.
I have so many family members, friends, memories that has been destroyed.
The town of Rolling Fork was among those hardest hit. The tornado also flattened the town of Silver City, claiming the life of Brian Parker's cousin, but sparing his wife and kids.
I just opened up the front door and I was just like, wow, God really, you know, he was really, you know, surrounding me and my family at the time.
The death toll from an explosion Friday at a chocolate factory in West Reading, Pennsylvania, rose to 4 this morning. Mayor Samantha Cagg.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we are really, truly taking this as seriously as we possibly can. As we try to find the information that we can to give to those that are still desperately in need and waiting for family members to come home or just waiting for some sort of answers.
Former President Trump spoke to thousands of people in Texas yesterday who want him back in the White House. KTVT reporter J.D. Miles was there.
I intend on Donald Trump being the 47th president.
These supporters believe all of the investigations are political witch hunts designed to stop him from another term in the White House.
He seems to care about us
and our military,
our border.
We found one protester among the crowd who accused Trump of using his Waco visit to compare his own legal troubles with the government to the Branch Davidian standoff that ended 30 years ago next month.
We're saying it's a government overreach, basically, for what's going on in his personal life.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he's deploying tactical nuclear weapons to a neighboring country. Reaction from former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
Putting these weapons in Belarus is mostly sending a message over its border to Ukraine and also to the West that Russia still has plenty of military power.
The Pope is expanding sex abuse laws to cover more Catholic officials, says CBS's Monica Ricks.
The law from 2019 holds senior church members accountable for covering up cases of sexual abuse. But Pope Francis now wants it to cover other Catholic leaders who may not be clergy members but still work for churches. And the pontiff clarifies it's not just children. Adults can be victims of abuse too.
The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency says its inspectors visiting southern Libya have now found drums containing natural uranium, drums that were reported missing earlier this month. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the spring sale, March 24th through April 3rd, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 45. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows dip down to about 24. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. About an inch of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. My guest today is the Dustin Nickerson. I was going to say the very funny, but I was like, everyone's very funny. You know, Colleen?
Mm-hmm.
Colleen Maraca, executive producer of the Cripes Cast, joins me. Dustin is one of my good comedy friends, one of my best comedy buddies. He's so great to like bounce ideas off, write jokes about. Or with, you know, I'm sure he has some, he's actually really good at roasting. I'm sure he has good jokes about me, like just waiting in the wings. We actually toured together a couple of years ago, right before COVID, in fact. He was touring with me in the Pacific Northwest. He is headlining now. He's going to be at the Milwaukee Improv August 24th. He was actually on with us on the Cripescast episode 43. So if you want to get a lot of Dustin's background, everything, you can go back and listen to that. But big news is he's got a new comedy special coming out this week. It's called Runs in the Family. It comes out March 28th on YouTube. Make sure you mark your calendars. Perfect date night thing. It's a free date night. I mean, how Midwest nice is that? Dustin's not even from the Midwest, but he's giving you a free date night for his special Runs in the Family March 28th on YouTube. Check it out. In the meantime, Colleen Maraca, how we doing? How
we're
we feeling?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Happy
spring.
Happy spring.
Yep.
Colleen Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, joining me in the booth.
We're back.
We are back. How was your wherever you were?
Where was I?
I don't know. I showed up to the office yesterday and you were like, "Hey, nice to see you. I haven't seen you in a month." I was like, time flies by.
Like not long enough.
Flies by. I can't believe it's been a month.
Right? Yeah.
Time burns by when you get older. Isn't that weird? What's that about?
Yeah, life's moving quick. You and Dustin talk about it in your episode about...
Do we really talk about that?
You guys talk about once you're 40, nobody calls you young anymore unless you die.
First of all, I'm not... Yeah, that was funny.
That's a short one this week. It's a good one. You're not 40. Let me just clarify for the audience.
No, I'm not.
Far from it.
What's wrong with being 40? I'm almost there. I'm 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
36 next month.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I was just walking with my friends yesterday by the lake and we're like, holy crap, we can't believe it's already middle of March.
It's already middle of March. Snow is melting.
Yeah.
And we're also going to get some more, but you know.
Are we?
Probably.
Well, yeah, my kickball league was supposed to start next week, but we got moved back.
Moved back because of the snow?
I didn't really fully read it, but I'm glad because it would have been really cold and I feel like I would have hurt myself pretty bad. So
yeah, you got to have those muscles warm, ladies and gentlemen. That is an important PSA that we give many PSAs here at the Cripescast.
Yep.
And that is stretch before you go play kickball.
Yes.
So that is that, folks. Oh, by the way, if you want to support the Cripescast before we get to this interview, make sure you head on over to mantalkman.com. We've got so much great merch there. It's made in the USA, and I'm talking T-shirts, koozies. Watch out. They say, watch out for deer. Tell your folks I says hi. We have sweatshirts, crew necks, really cool cribbage boards, which are made in Milwaukee. By a local group here, and
it's a three-person one if you want to play with three people, which is fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Three-person cribbage is not often done, but fun when it is done. So anyways, that's it. Let's get to my interview with Dustin. I mean, the only reason we're having this conversation is how many followers do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I didn't know exactly. I mean, it should be 115K by the end of the day.
That's congratulations.
You know, it's funny. I talked to our mutual friend, Trevor Wallace, and he goes, "Hey man, just so you know, none of them feel better than 100K. And I was like, thanks.
that is really funny.
The climb is over, so
yeah. I don't that's interesting. That's probably true. Well, really, it's just anytime you get a certain number of followers, you just that wears away very quickly, and then you're like, all right, now I gotta get 101, you know.
Well, 201. I remember talking to John about this years ago of like the amount of followers you have to get new followers to get to feel something. Cause you're like, when you first get on, you're like every new follower, and then it's like every 100 new followers, and then every 1,000 new followers, and every 10,000 new followers. And now once you're over like the 100 mark, you're like, well, I'd like that to be 150.
Yeah.
Like, you're like your increments of success. But as you also know, like it is like very much like a one percenters thing in that, or it's like the Matthew principle, like you to whom those have given, much more is given. It's easier to get followers when you have followers. Cause I do that. Yeah. I'll see like a viral video and then I'll click on their profile and they'll have like 9,000 followers. And like, it's a fluke.
Oh yeah. Is that how you operate there? Have you seen that?
On a new follow, I'm like, have I seen them be like consistently good for a while?
Yeah, before I. Well,
and
that's
then on TikTok. Go ahead.
No, that's like the a lot of people will be doing this for a while and they'll be frustrated, and I'll talk to them, and they'll be like, I just feel like I've been doing these videos and they're good videos and I've been doing them for a while and nothing's popping off. I'm like, that's like the hardest part and the work right there. Yep. Because as soon as you have one that just goes exponentially viral, they're going to do exactly what you did and be like, how long has this guy been doing it? And if you can
exactly, and with the
inspiring thing about that, one of the very few inspiring things about social media is that content is still king. And if you do really good, funny videos for long enough, the it's very unfair. Some people whose stuff pops off quick and people who don't, it has nothing to do with how funny you are. But I think if you're, I think if you keep willing to keep doing it, willing to keep being funny for free for long enough, like it will take off.
Mm. Yeah.
I think you're right. Maybe that could be my privileged white guy with a big Midwest audience talking to you right now, you know?
No, I appreciate that you self-deprecated your own advice there. and you really hate yourself to that core level that you could say something so clearly inspirational and and helpful and go, but what do I know? I'm a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, I have to do that. That's what I have to do. Just in case. Yeah. And this is why I did it. Just in case there was somebody out there thinking it. Yeah. And because I am who I am, I assume there's at least five people thinking it. Between five and 5,000, you know?
I thought you were going to say it just in case the Catholicism is actually true.
Well, that... what are you talking about? What exactly isn't true? Huh? You non-denominational. Yeah. What's your denomination again? I forget because you don't have one.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
We're the one that started in rebellion.
Oh, is that right? Well, I don't. So Martin Luther. That's a very nail in the 99 theses. You know, he's got 99 theses and a confession ain't one, nailing them to the deal. So like theatrical, you know, what did the non-denoms do? What the non-denoms do?
Isn't it? It's when you say it like that, it is a lot. And you know, you're like, you could have like had a lunch. You could have shared some of your points. So you're like, hey, I got some new thoughts. The nail on the door and all 95 of them seems a bit much. And the more when you read his writings and, you know, and stuff, you're like, all right, why don't you, I mean, I guess to start a new thing from the Catholic Church, you had to have a bit of drama to you, but still.
Do you think that he did like each piece? I mean, 95, that's a lot. Do you think he nailed each one to like, so he nailed 95 times.
No, I think it was on one sheet.
One sheet.
Yeah.
Do you think it was double-sided?
Or at least very long. It's in my mind, it's very scroll-like.
Okay.
It would be very funny if it was 95 because you would be like, listen, You just don't have efficient leadership skills, like time management issues. Right. Put it on all one piece of paper, buddy.
Right.
The Catholic Church, they've got their problems. Efficiency is not one of them. They are a tightly run operation.
Oh, they got the ship going. I'm trying to fix my hair. I feel like I look like I play lacrosse right now, so I'm trying to fix it. But
listen, you're
Jimmy Neutron hair.
Listen, you are in my actual setup right here. Does it look like I'm standing? Because I am standing.
It does look like you're standing in like your family guest bedroom because you got kicked out of your office.
So many funny assumptions there. one, that I can afford a guest bedroom. I think you forget I live in California. This is our bedroom. Thank you. This is the reason I'm standing is because earlier this week I threw out my back. And so I'm standing with a warm brand.
I love that for so many reasons. What is that?
That's show business, baby.
What is that?
Show business. It's a little warm pack. This thing came fresh out of the microwave. Look how, like, when we're here, I look like a presentable human being, right? Mm. You're like, oh, yeah, this works on a podcast. You know, it's got a cool hat, it has a glass. And just here, I'm just like every dad you've ever seen. I threw on the gray with it. I've got Birkenstocks on under here. It's a whole thing.
How'd you throw out your back?
Oh, age? Yeah, nothing. Yeah, it was, I overdid it when we had to get some stuff under the bed and I lifted a bed and I was like, oh, I feel it happening. It's gonna hit tomorrow. And sure enough, I bent over. Have you ever had lower back spasms?
First of all, I love how closely, I think in one of your specials, you had a joke about someone throwing out their back and they threw it out something about the bed. I forget exactly joke was.
Holding, yeah. It was an old employee of mine. Yeah.
So you guys just got to stay away from the beds. Yeah. I thought that since that was your joke, you would know that
it's a very like humiliating injury, the lower back spasms, because it doesn't actually happen where you did something. It usually hits you like a day or two later, and it's like an invisible injury. Nobody sees anything. They just hear you whimpering on the ground. And like the first time my wife asked me about it, I was like, I feel like I'm having a baby through my butt. It hurts so bad.
Wow.
Like the contract, it feels like you're having like contractions or something in your lower back.
It's back spasms, a baby through your butt. I'm trying to think if I have had lower back pain, but I don't think I've had this yet.
You would know these. They bring you, it's like a nerve thing. So it puts you on the ground. Like you can't function. It's about as painful as you can feel, that I felt at least. Like, and the most humiliating part about it is like, you don't really get to go to the doctor because they're like, it's ice and Advil and rest. That's it. They don't want to do an X-ray. There's nothing broken in there. You're just old. The real diagnosis is like, welcome to middle age. No. This is one of your problems.
I love it when you're not old. You're just not stretching enough. You're not old. Yeah. You're just not drinking enough water. You know, it's all the stuff you're not doing. And you kind of live that out for a while until finally you're old, you know?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Because there's the age where you're not doing the things you should be doing enough. In your 20s, you can do whatever you want to your body. And then in your 30s, you got to stretch, stay hydrated, not drink. Not smoke, not do anything fun. And then, and then eventually once I think it's, how old are you?
38.
Okay. I'm 35. 35.
Yeah.
When does it happen? When do you go from?
I think in your 40s I was thinking about this morning, in your 40s is the time that no one will refer to you as young anymore. Like, because in this gap right now, like we're mid like 30s here. So some people in like their 40s and their 50s will still roll their eyes at you. But I don't think that happens in your 40s.
Okay. You are called young in your 40s if you have a heart attack in your 40s. Like, oh my gosh, she was so young. That's okay. The only time.
There's a very good chance I'm doing that on stage. Because what I was going to say is the bit that I was thinking about, the thing is that in your 30s, people will still call you young. And in your 40s, people will go, well, you still have your health. Like that's the line that they'll use. But yeah. You are right. The only part about being young in your 40s is if you die. Mm-hmm. It's a crime if one of us doesn't put that on stage. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You're not so young. It's only, well, he was so young.
Yeah. But he was so young. Yeah. He is so young. There it is. It's being the old stuff. I'm like, I'm drinking smoothies when I wake up. Cause like, otherwise it's the only time in the day where I'm like, all right, I'll get the greens in. Speaking of this. And I spilt some smoothie because I drink it right out of the smoothie cup because I'm not going to buy like smoothies. I'm going to get the little Nutribullet thing.
But
I don't want to get a cup to actually move the smoothie in because that's like just wasting a cup and then I got to wash that cup. So I drink it right out of the smoothie thing. But because it's got the little curls, it drips onto my shirt. Every morning it drips onto my shirt and I go like that and it usually goes away. This morning, I forgot to go like that, and I just did an interview trying to promote my special.
I take it as a compliment that you didn't even think you needed to clean up for me. That you're that comfortable around me that you're like, I don't need to look in the mirror.
But first of all, that's very true. Second of all, I'm telling you, I'm not even talking about you, dude. I did a news interview right before I talked to you.
Oh, you're not talking about this?
No.
Oh,
no,
you're
doing this in your bedroom right now. Do you think I really care?
That's true.
I mean,
that's true. And I'm about to take this off, just so you know, because it's been enough time.
Take it off, dude. Take it off.
Now I'm loose.
You're feeling good, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been doing. I actually did a new bit the other day on stage, also about lower back issues because my lower back's been hurting, and I was doing it about I was doing it wearing Hokas. Somebody told me, I've heard two things about Hokas. I've heard that they are cool and that they are very uncool. And I know them for a fact to be the most uncool shoe in the world. I mean, these, like every time I wear these, I feel like I should be walking to a parent teacher conference, you know?
Yeah. And, I was going to say, as a dad, I rolled my eyes at those and that's disconcerting.
Yeah. Okay. So let me explain why I'm wearing them. The only reason I'm wearing them is because of my lower back. They're the only thing. Like I will walk around my house in Crocs and my lower back hurts. I'll walk around in boots. Like I have three pairs of shoes, one of which is Crocs, you know, and those do well. They have some stuff, but anyway.
Do you have the little things in them? The little What are my kids? What are they called?
I don't know. They're little tchotchkes.
Yeah. What do you have in yours?
I honestly don't know. Crocs sent me them because I'm just that cool.
Okay.
I'm just
Gibbets?
That cool.
Is that what it's called?
Gibbets. Thank you, Colleen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gibbets. Crocs.
Do you have Gibbets in your Crocs?
I have a pair of Crocs. I don't find myself wearing them a lot. I find myself a little more of a sandal guy. It fits kind of my Birkenstocks, you know? And I think that checks out for me. I'm kind of a Birkenstocks granola type human. And my kids, though, wear them a lot. And they've got like the funny ones. They've got like Shrek, you know? Shrek is so fun. Shrek's a real meme. Shrek is a... really passed down to this Gen Z generation. So they wear them constantly.
Yeah, they do. I want to do something in the middle of this to promote your special, just so people know if they're like, in case they tune out, I kind of want to treat this interview like a Terry Gross interview. If you're joining me now, my guest is Dustin Nickerson. He's a very funny stand-up comedian with 115 Instagram followers.
As of now,
Dustin.
Yeah. As you check it again.
It's like a live count, like a telethon. Yeah. Oh, no, it's going down.
Your special is out. Is coming out at the time this interview comes out. What's the name of the special? Where can people find it?
Depending when this comes out. So the special is out March 28th. Which may, when you're listening to this, it may be today, that may be in the past, that may be in the future. I don't know where you are, but it's called Runs in the Family, and it's on a little website called YouTube. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, I put mine out on YouTube too. Mine is also out at the time of this thing. How was it? What's it?
What's yours called?
Oh, you didn't watch the trailer I released on my channel 3 days ago?
No. I only see your sketches.
No.
I see a lot of your sketches, though.
I do appreciate that. I see a lot of your videos, too. They're very funny. I'm one of your 115. It's called Midwest Goodbye. What's yours called?
Runs in the Family.
Oh, yeah. You already said that.
Yeah, I did already say that. So, you can get mad at me for not watching your trailer, or I can get mad at you for not hearing what I said less than 30 seconds ago. But that's cool that you got a special coming out too. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Real cool. So how do you feel upon releasing? Is it all edited, done, up?
We're almost there. We're doing like the final fine tunes of just like some small audio changes, a couple little edits here and there. Did you edit all yours yourself?
No, I mean,
okay.
Robbie, my buddy Robbie did. And then Max, I had like a lot of people on my team, Colleen, who's, she's on the other end of listening to this. Hannah, like a bunch of people helped edit it.
Yeah.
Who work
good
with me. Did you edit all of yours yourself?
No, mine is literally was directed and is edited by a dude that lives in a van named Alec Parent, who is a funny comic and a very good video guy. And he does a lot of like clips and records a lot of shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, could you piece together a special? Do you think we could do this?
Yeah.
And he's done a great job, but it's definitely been like, it's very, sometimes I'll be like, I can't believe that this all happened on a dude's laptop in a van.
Great. Is he expensive?
No, I wouldn't have used him if he was. You don't get a guy who lives in a van because he's expensive. You get him for the opposite reason. You get him before he lives inside while he's cheap. He did a good job. But
that's
awesome. It's like though, like, at the end of the day, like specials, like I think it's so funny when like comedy specials have a director. You're like, the comic is the director. We're the director. Like we're the producer, the director, the only person in it because you did direct everything. You set it up. You have the final say on everything. You're like, they send you edits and then you go back and forth and say this, add this, change this. When I'm editing my special or I'm going through and watching it for edits, my brain is going, the best thing that this special could be, the way we can make this better is if it was a different stand-up comedian. It needs to not be me. That's the issue here.
I know. I had a dark night of the soul editing my special too, which I think
was
turned
out
great.
Was this the night you called me?
Yeah. Yep.
That was the night you called me.
That was the night I called you. I was like, I got to shoot it. I got to shoot it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't your darkest moment because I got to shoot it again is right before I have to quit comedy. That's the actual.
You saved me from my darkest moment. I didn't quite get there yet.
Yeah, you're like, I know, I just can't do this. I'm not good at this.
Yeah, I know. And then you watch, I watched Nate's special.
Yeah, so good.
And I was like, I'm going to go back to being a bike mechanic, I think.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras, Thompson, and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation. All in to win. Gingras, Thompson, and Walks.
GTWLawyers.com. Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 45. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 24. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. About an inch of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Would you consider yourself a clean comic?
Oh, yeah, I'm a clean comic, yeah.
But I mean, what's the line for that? Like, what can you not say to be a clean comic? Like, if your audience screams back at you, fuck the Bears, is that... That's still clean because in the context, it's before the Bears, so it doesn't count, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's a really interesting line on yours because that is the only time that there's swearing during your show.
Right.
Right? Like, right. Which is such a funny thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't even, in the context of knowing anything about the NFL in the Midwest, it doesn't even really feel like cursing.
Mm-mm. No, it's just a fact, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like when people are like, well, you shouldn't do drugs and alcohol is bad for you too. You're like, alcohol doesn't count. Don't throw that in there.
Yeah.
I know you're technically right, but we all accept alcohol as a poison that we're allowed to consume.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the many.
So no, I'd still put you, I think you're safe. Plus, are you saying it? Or they just yell it at you?
They yell it at me. Yeah, they yell it at me. I actually didn't say it. The audience said it back at me twice, and I realized.
That's hilarious.
Now I forget why I was asking that question. In the special.
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about Nate and being clean and...
Oh. Yeah, and so he did a lot of bits that... because... I get, that I was like, there will be a time when someone will do a bit where you're like, shit.
Yeah.
You'll say all the not clean things because you're like, that was a bit that I almost could have thought of if I was better at what I did, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And that's the compliment to the comic of like, it's also kind of funny and arrogant when you do that, when you're like, oh, I should have thought of that. I'm like, well, you didn't.
Yeah. You had literally a decade to think of that joke.
Yeah.
You've experienced this your whole life and you haven't done it. What makes you think you were just going to do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if enough time would have passed, I would have gotten to it. Yeah. You're like, what? What are you talking about? You didn't think of it. They did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nate is a great example of that, though, of where you go, because Nate is so accessible and relatable that you just go, that was right there in front of me. How did I not think? Now, I will say this about Nate bits of like, I don't know if you ever try and quote a Nate bit. They're not funny unless he says them. He's like the package. Yeah. Like Nate, it's all... Like, I think that bit about, like, picking up ice is one of the funniest bits I've ever heard. And I don't even repeat it to people because I'm like, I'm not going to do this justice. Like,
no.
Because it's you got to hear him and the whole package of it and the accent and the low energy. And Nate's, Yeah, and he's so subtle up there. It's incredible.
It is. And you're right, because you're like, why? He does a lot of jokes, which is, why didn't I think of that? Which is usually, I did think of that. I just didn't think it was a bit. Like, I observed it.
That's good.
I know, like, noticing it, like, mm-hmm. seeing it and observing it are two different things, you know?
Yeah. And then I go, and I'm not talented enough to make it funny.
Yeah, right. Like, a better comedian would do really good with that. You know,
but you know your strengths at a certain point. It's so funny. I like, you know, this, I'm like working now on what will be like my third hour, you know, and I was talking to Taylor Tomlinson, who I tour with a lot right now. And, you know, I was doing the outline for the new hour. And I was like, so it's, I told her, I'm really switching it up this hour. I'm talking about aging, marriage, my kids and my dad. And she laughed. I was like, that's all I've ever talked about. Those are the four. Everything, even if it's like a political joke or something like that, it's still under the umbrella of me talking about aging, marriage, my kids or my dad. Those are the four topics that I got.
That's wildly surprising. You saying that is pretty surprising, because, by the way, I initially brought up Nate too, also to say that in a lot of ways you as much as you're putting yourself down, self-deprecating, you know, if I were Netflix, I would be recommending you in the same vein as Nate. You know, your stuff is hilarious, and it's also it is in the same way. It's although I'm going in two different places. You did do a lot of funny stuff around, like, when you did your pandemic show. You did a lot of, like right. you know, those kinds of things, but I guess it was in context with, like, what was all going on there.
Yeah.
But it was very funny.
You are right. There is I guess, you know what it is, like, there's specials, and then there's, like, like the shows that I did with Kev, like Kev on Stage, and like the only white comedian for the all black crowd and stuff like that. Those almost feel like timely, like appearances almost.
Oh, that's the way you would call that.
Yeah. A lot of those are like, because I was like, I'm going to post a lot of this material and a lot of it's not going to be in a special anywhere. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of different in that I usually write jokes for at least half that set. Usually is stuff that I wrote for that show or have been like things that I've just kind of been like riffing about, or maybe doing like locally, like COVID jokes, or there's a lot of BLM stuff in there. And, you know, like that you're like, okay, or vaccine jokes or something like that, that you're like, but, you know, I don't know if you think this, like, there's not, I was telling this to Mel from the time that Kobe died to, I think, the insurrection, I think that 2-year span, everybody was talking about the same thing simultaneously. It all went from Kobe died, and then we went straight into COVID, and then we went straight into the BLM stuff, and then we had an election, and then we had vaccines, or we went vaccine stuff, election, vaccine stuff, insurrection. We were all talking about the one same thing simultaneously, and I don't think that's the case anymore. Like, it doesn't feel like we have like groupthink the way we used to, where everyone is like, this is the one issue that we're talking about. So when I felt like during the pandemic, I was like, you have to talk about some of these things because it's literally what everybody is thinking about. Like, mm-hmm. if January 7th, you did stand up comedy and you didn't acknowledge the insurrection the day before, you're like, what are you doing?
Right, right.
There has to be at least some nod to that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I flew in today. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I just got back from storming the Capitol. I don't know what your joke was. It felt like you had to say something. And I have not been doing nearly as much like topical stuff since then, because I just don't feel a need to, because people are like, yeah, just do your act, man. I'm here for the act, baby. Right. Make fun of the city I'm in and then let's go.
Right, right. Yeah. I think it's Yeah, there's just I get so exhausted. I mean, I've got some jokes that I think overarching say stuff about sort of where we are to a degree, but I did the news kind of thing for so long. Even before the Manitowoc Minute, it was like a lot of headline punchline type stuff. And following that and trying to figure out if a story's going to live long enough to make the video worth doing, and that whole like deal, and then seeing a video you put a lot of work into have a very short shelf life because you're always chasing the newsroom. It's just it was so exhausting that and that's from, I guess, making a video standpoint. Doing a joke on stage is that's something I still do quite a bit, but the video aspect, that's a lot to
yeah, do. You're right though that like, you know, that's the problem with topical stuff. It has a really short shelf life. And I think one of the best jokes I ever wrote was a vaccine joke about, I don't even remember, about the Johnson & Johnson, that I didn't trust it because it was two shots. And I didn't like how they were in a meeting and they're like, hey, all the other vaccines are one shot, but like, remember what we did with shampoo and conditioner? You know, and then I did like a full act out, the two become one. That was an incredible joke. Like, I'm complimenting myself. That is such a funny joke. And it would murder. It would like bring the house down. And then you're like, and then you just felt it diminishing on stage because everyone's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. And nobody remembers how many shots the Johnson & Johnson was or anything like that. And that's the hard part with topical material. You're like, oh, I wrote this incredible thing and now it's dead.
Right. Like here's what I would do. I would go to, like the thing, like Newser, some like aggregating website and look for like a red one, you know, that means this is a big deal. Patricia Heaton has incredible response to Don Lemon. I'm not even going to pretend like I know what, and that's like, that's a big newsmaker story. I have no idea what the hell, honestly, I'm not. Do you know Patricia Heaton well?
I know who she is. Yeah. And she was, Everybody Loves Raymond, right? The wife.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, is she a politician? I should know. That's, you know,
I think she is very political now. I think she's, I think that
is she right
pretty,
or left? I really
I think
don't know.
Right. I don't know that. Yeah. I'm guessing there.
But I'm so much happier not knowing that.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. So anyway,
I do it now. I'll do it like on Twitter. I'll go like, what's trending? And is there anything that everyone, and now it's like mostly sports.
Yeah.
And I'm all right. Yeah. Things are back to the way they should be.
Yeah. I also think Twitter changed a lot. Cause now,
Elon?
Well, I don't really go on anymore because like there's so much crap on Twitter. At one point in my life, I just followed a lot of people to try and get them to follow me back, you know, like early in my, when they were like, you just need followers, you know, like I'm old enough that like the acceptable thing to do was to then go follow a bunch of people so they follow you back.
Right.
Consequently, I think a lot of people and I don't really have a feed. And then, so if I'm going to figure out, I usually use the hashtag thing, but now like everybody's got a hashtag. So I don't even know what I'm supposed to care about, you know?
I mean, I would say that's it's a middle age problem in general of that. I don't know what I'm supposed to care about anymore.
Yeah.
Can you someone think just about the things you're passionate about in your 20s and you're like, oh
yeah.
Like you see your old Facebook memory post and you're like, oh no, there's no one I hate more on this planet than my former self.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
I think there's a lot, like there's a lot going on in this world and there's a lot of good you can do and there's a lot of good you can do by caring. But I think, you know, just getting swept up in whatever is like, there are some people who I know if there's some, like whatever they're going to post is going to make some big issue out of something that, you know, they just learned about 2 days ago. Like, and now they're a frickin', expert, and anyone who disagrees with the 2 days of research they did, and by That's 2 days, I mean 2 hours, they just, then they're a bad person. And I don't even care what side of the issue you're on. It's just, we all know those people, and there's nothing more than exhausting. And I also fear that at one point in my life, I may have been that person, which is...
Yeah, which is the real fear. I think what it is there are a lot of issues that I care about and that you care about. I tend not to care a lot about the people who are always talking about that issue.
Right.
Because we are like enough in this world of like, where you're like, you don't actually care about that issue. You're just trying to grow a platform or upset people or, you know, be a troll.
That's or whatever it may be.
That's
like, what's upsetting me. Yeah.
You're like, you know, so many, and we see comics do this of like, you don't care about this.
Right.
You've just found a little following here. You don't, it's very like politician-em of them. You're like, hey, you're saying what it takes to get votes, baby.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. Yeah. I mean, but there was a comic that I knew who was, I don't know, he was just doing whatever, but then he started doing these hard right. His stuff was funny, I thought, but then he just was doing, he did like one hard right video. And I think he got so much feedback from like the far right that he just kept doing more and more of those.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like, and it happens on the far left too. It's not left or right, but it's just, you get into this feedback, thing, and people like that. Or they have no, I don't know. I think people feel like they have no choice but to like their audience and to like, if you just do videos that aren't batshit crazy, you don't need to keep making batshit crazy videos.
Right. Yeah. Well, and what you're saying is you and I are similar. You and I are like, I feel bad for their followers in the sense that you're like, hey, they don't believe this.
Right.
They don't. They've just found a following. And that was their whole goal.
They're trying to sell merch that says sheeple. And the only way you sell a shirt that says sheeple is if you pretend like you're not all sheep yourself,
like
wearing a sheeple shirt. If you are
like
all wearing sheeple shirt, what do you think? Not ironic anymore. That's just real.
Like the comic on the other side is trying to sell masks.
Right.
Exactly. They trust the science.
Exactly. Oh, God. Oh, man. I hated that so much because like I was like during COVID, I was like, all right, what do we need? Just, it's a simple thing, you know, and they're like, we need masks. And so I was like doing this, a Bloody Mary video. And I was like, and the hospitals need masks. So they said, even if you make them, take them on over there or whatever. And like 2 weeks later, they were like, yeah, those homemade masks, those don't work. I was like, well, I could have told you that, you know, like didn't anyone think before you like got everyone to take these in the hospitals? But
Charlie,
I don't know.
Remember when we couldn't find them?
Oh, remember when? Yes. Yeah. Did we bring
we
this
were
up?
Together right when this all was happening? I don't think we've talked about this.
Did
we were like on the eve of the end of the world together?
Wait. When was the last time you were on this podcast?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been when my last special came out, which would have been. So it was after we worked together. So maybe we did talk about it.
Well, let's talk about the story. Oh, Colleen says April of 2021, episode 42. Thank you, Colleen.
It was for the book. We might not have talked about it then.
Okay. All right. So tell the story. Where were we?
This was February 2020. This would have been like mid-February 2020.
In fact, hang on. I'm going to give a little more detail to this. As I just say, tell the story. I'm going to jump
in. Let's do it together.
Okay.
Baby.
So I'm landing in Seattle, I think, Tacoma, maybe?
Yes.
And as I literally pick up my phone, you know, doing the thing when the entire plane is turning their phone on and the first thing it says is first case of coronavirus, which I think is what it was called back then. First case of coronavirus lands in Washington.
In Seattle, Washington
State, as I literally am landing. I'm like, oh, shit. Wow.
Here we go.
And enter your
side. I was opening for you. We were doing a run of shows in in Tacoma, Portland, and Spokane. Spokane was second. Portland was last, I think. I think we went Tacoma, Portland, or Tacoma, Spokane, Portland. Uh-huh. And so we're driving. We are like, we're just kind of like casually talking about like, oh, COVID, what's going to happen? Wash your hands, everybody. Yeah. Like, oh, it's the new monkeypox or whatever. We don't know. Like, yeah. Just like being stupid. And like, we were like, we're driving over the Cascades into Eastern Washington, which I've done a bunch, and it's like kind of rural and desolate out there. And we're like, we should make a video about masks, like designing your own mask, or like, hey, everyone has some masks. Let's have like a fashion mask. Like, that was the idea, was like, you know, making, and this was like, and now we're like, that's like an actual product that people have worn for 2 years now, but this was forever ago. And we were like, let's go try and find one, right?
Yeah.
And we couldn't find one. Like, we were in the early times where they were getting masks scooped up. Like, we went to like Home Depot, we went to like arts and crafts stores.
Yeah, you couldn't find a wood mat or one for wood particles that didn't even do anything. You couldn't find it at all. And this was shortly after. And also, by the way, at this point, the people buying the masks is the exact people, for the most part, if I were to generalize, the people who were buying masks early are the people who were not wearing masks after the fact.
Hilarious.
I mean, if that's like, because we were also, that's what I remember. In fact, because I think the sketch was going to be something about how, something to that tune of how they were, like, they said that the mask didn't work. They said it didn't work. So,
that's right.
And of course, I was like, oh, these people know what they're talking about. But no, they were just lying, dude. Right. I think that was the first mess up in that whole thing, is that you couldn't just tell people, no, the masks work to a degree, but we just need these for doctors. So they don't, they're the most important people to a degree.
Yeah. It's so funny to like look back and try and remember what we were thinking at whatever time. Because I forgot there was that era where it was bad to have a mask because they're like, the doctors need these. And you're like, oh, wait, what's, so I'm supposed to wear one, but not, oh, okay.
They said two things though. They said two things. They said the mask was ineffective, but also we need the masks for the doctors or whatever.
Right. You're like, oh yeah, that's right. They were lying. They were saying they're ineffective so we wouldn't buy them, right?
Yeah. It's like, as soon as you do that, no wonder everything went out the window. Like, as soon as you start lying, it all goes to hell. Cause then no one's got any basis. Nobody trusts anyone to begin with. And now you're doing that.
Well, and that's just showing that they're not trusting Americans to be like, hey, doctors need these. And Americans are like, friggin' doctors, I need this.
Yeah, I know. But that's
which
the thing
they are
about
right to think that.
Right. That's the thing about America, though. You try to correct it by thinking you know how they're going to react, you know? Yeah. And then America just does like the most, I mean, that's just not knowing Americans, I guess, saying that.
Yeah. Like, no, we'll find out the truth. We will. We'll throw your tea in the harbor. We don't friggin' care.
Exactly. We will find out your truth and discover that our truth is more fun to believe. And we're just going to believe that, you know, it's just more fun. And then there are these people who are like, I can sell a bunch of stuff by that, you know, and then
I know a lot of people like lost a lot of trust in the CDC during that time. I have never trusted the CDC because the CDC is the one who says that if you have more than two drinks in a day, you've got a problem. And that's not true.
that can't be true, can it?
That's hogwash. There's not a thing coming out from that agency that I trust ever. That stat. What are you going to, next thing you're going to tell me that a pregnant woman can't drink? Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's so interesting to look back on those, Mel and I will do that of just like, we'll drive by and we'll be like, remember when our beach, because we live in San Diego, remember when the beaches were closed? They closed the beaches because they thought And then in hindsight, like, that's the literal best thing you could do, just to go be outside.
Oh my God.
In the sun.
I know. Yeah. I know. Closing, you're like, really? Like, going at to the windiest, biggest, windiest place I can think of? That's going to be bad?
We had an era there where AA meetings were closed, but liquor stores were open. And you're like, there was another one that I remember we were driving by, like, you weren't allowed to have like parties or gatherings, but like Party City was still open. You're like, God, what? Just be, tell us one thing. Just let us be consistent in understanding of one of these things, please.
Dude, all I know is that at some point in human history, there's going to be a contagion type disease and we're just all going to die for sure. We're not capable as people of handling like that, you know, at all.
Yeah.
And right now, Earth is like in the process of like, they tried to get rid of us, you know, like, but the scientists of Earth, created the whole COVID thing, try and kill off humanity to save the planet, are like, you know what? We know what to do now. This vaccine didn't work. We've got another vaccine. And that's just like airborne disease with conspiracy theory.
I think that you just like what's one of the funny thing that just about Americans is like, hey man, like we started in revolution. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. We're like, I mean, there's some king on the other side of the water. Yeah, I don't care about that. And it's just never really went away. We're just a very natural, rebellious country. Even to, we'll rebel against each other. And then we were at war with each other a few years later.
we've got very third child vibes, you know? America's...
We're like, F you, dad. And we're like, F you, brother. And now we're like, F everybody. That's just who we are, baby.
Yeah, we're like, and sometimes we're like the third child, like who ended up like getting a good job somehow, you know? Because
we're very high achieving. Yeah.
And then we like look over at the UK, like, you know, like I used to respect you, you know, or something like that, you know. All right, time now to play Is This a Bit, where we go through the note sections on our phone and figure out if it's good or if we should just quit comedy.
You got some too?
Yeah, I do. I do. Dog death gambling by hour. Nah, I don't know what that was.
Hilarious.
Here's one. Do you think our nightmares change as we get older? I mean, they do, right? But they're not really scary anymore. They're scary, but it's no longer like, I haven't had a dream in a long time where I was scared I was gonna die. Really?
Okay.
Or that there was a monster. What are my scary dreams?
What are your scary dreams now? Like taxes?
Yeah, something. No, it's just weird. It's not even scary. Okay. I don't think I have many scary dreams now, but it would be funnier if I said my scary dreams are and then listed off scary things.
I think what it is like, I think that maybe a funny premise angle there is like, if you live enough life, you realize that the real world is scarier than your imagination. Like you're like, oh no. Like I thought that like Freddy Krueger was scary. And then my cousin asked me for money.
Yeah, that's great. I thought Freddy Krueger was scary, and then I got an audit note from the IRS.
I thought I was scared of spiders, and then I had to like light my water heater.
and you're like, wait a second.
The pilot light?
Yeah, if the pilot lights off, there might be gas inside here. But I can't smell the gas, and I don't know if gas. Open the windows, for God's sake. Okay. And then you're walking in with like a lighter going, seeing if the flame's getting any bigger as you get closer.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, invisible gas is one of the scariest, or I guess all gas is invisible.
Yeah.
Non-smelling gas is one of the craziest things.
Here's one that I've been trying to figure out. This happened with my son recently. where he was, I asked him how one of his friends was doing. Like, I hadn't seen him in a while. He was a kid on his little league team. And I was like, hey, how's Forrest doing? Like, his name is Forrest. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's gotten like really into skateboarding. I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, really grown his hair out. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and he's been listening to a lot of reggae. And I was like, are you telling me that he's smoking pot? And Joel goes, yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I love how he gave you plenty of off ramps to not ask any more questions.